This podcast is intended for investment professionals only. Hello and welcome to Market Talk's Lunar New Year special. This week, over 1.4 billion Chinese people will be celebrating their New Year, the Year of the Water Tiger, as it's known in the Chinese zodiac. With celebrations due to take place up and down the country, financial markets will be closed for the week, allowing investors to literally take stock of events. So who better to join me, Francis Watson, and give us his insight into Chinese bonds and equities than our man in Hong Kong, Ben Bennett, Head of Investment Strategy and Research, and who joins me now. Ben, happy Chinese New Year to you.
Thanks, Francis. Happy New Year to you too.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm wearing a bit of red today because apparently that brings us all prosperity and luck. So let's hope they come in spades for us both. So now we're going to do a deep dive on Chinese equities and bonds, Ben, and thank you for doing that with us. But let's just set the macroeconomic scene if we can. I mean, for the last two decades, China's been the leading generator of global GDP growth, hasn't it? Relying principally, I guess, on exports and infrastructure investment. So how has that model changed in the light of COVID?
Well, it was already changing before COVID, actually. The whole point about Chinese growth is that as the country gets richer, they're trying to move from this model, as you said, of exporting and infrastructure spending into consumption. So, you know, the population are getting richer, they're going to consume more. So that was a trend over the last few years. Now, COVID has slightly put a spanner in the works of that plan. It's put a spanner in the works of lots of plans, of course. But the issue with COVID is that we've seen another massive increase in exports because China was able to provide stuff that everyone else wanted. And remember, the rest of the world weren't able to go to restaurants, service consumption fell, but goods consumption increased. They wanted to buy things, so TVs and cars, etc. So China was exporting all that stuff externally. So that's led to a massive increase in exports. At the same time, the Chinese domestic economy has suffered, and we'll talk about it in a second, I'm sure, about the zero COVID policy. So lots of shutdowns, which has actually meant that the consumption in Chinese economy has been quite disappointing, retail sales, etc. So it's definitely been a hiccup in this long-term plan. I suspect once COVID is properly out of the way and China properly reopens, we're going to get back onto that that track of increasing consumption and reducing the reliance on infrastructure and exports. But for now, we've had a bit of a hiatus.
That's interesting, isn't it? And I guess it's because of that reliance on exports and the US market in particular that may have been the prompt behind President Xi in Davos recently asking Jerome Powell not to raise US interest rates. I mean, could monetary policy tightening be a problem for China then, Ben?
So China and the US are actually in different monetary policy directions, and they have been for the last year or so. Remember last year, China was actually tightening policy, trying to squeeze the property market, trying to stop property prices going too high, trying to stop credit increasing too much. So they were tightening credit at the same time as the US was actually loosening their credit and pumping huge amounts of QE into the system. But as I mentioned earlier, Chinese retail sales, Chinese consumption has been a bit disappointing. Also, the property market is looking quite fragile. So policymakers in China have decided to reverse and start to pump more credit into the system, trying to loosen policy. And the last thing that they need is the entire world tightening policy at the same time. It's sort of undermining their whole concept there of trying to support the economy. So I think that's what President Xi is asking for. But to be honest, Chinese policy is so domestic focused that they probably are not going to be, I don't think they'll suffer too much from US tightening unless it causes a massive recession and exports collapse. But I don't think that's going to be the case this year.
Okay, but you mentioned property there. And of course, all last year, you know, the woes of Evergrande, if you like, were unveiled along with others, hugely indebted sector. I mean, how important is the property sector to China's overall growth?
It's huge, it's hard to sort of come up with a number because it's it has its sort of tentacles everywhere, from construction, so employment there, from savings products, saving in houses, but also there's lots of these bonds linked into other savings products. In terms of the local government's way of raising money, they tend to sell land to these property developers. It adds up and up and up, and it's probably higher than 20% of Chinese economy. But when you start talking about numbers that big, then you're really talking about something that would be systemic if there was a proper crash in Chinese property market. And yeah, I think what the government was trying to do last year was trying to just nip some of the excesses in the bud, some of the credit growth that had been, I guess, just too high, too fast for too long, trying to get it on a steadier, even path. It's caused a lot, as you say, a lot of volatility. And maybe they've gone a little bit too far. And that's why they're reversing some of the policy right now. It's trying to support the property market.
So it's interesting because, what you've just said about tightening and the twin pillars, if you like, of property and poor retail sales. I mean, all of that was reflected in the stock market, wasn't it, last year, 2021, which was a tough year for equities, to be fair. I mean, given the potential reversals then, Ben, and none of us have a crystal ball, but is 2022 likely to fare any better in your view in terms of equities?
Yeah, we think so as a team. We think that, with credit stopping being tightened and being loose and policymakers having a closer, probably thinking that they've done enough just to squeeze out the property developers. That's, instead of a headwind, that's a tailwind. There is a structural focus, though, on sort of social cohesion, which has caused quite a lot of sort of heavy-handed looks at some sectors, regulation from the financial sector to the after-school education sector to online gaming. So there's been lots of, and all of these things have caused volatility for the stock market. So lots of companies are selling these products that are being regulated, of course. I don't think that's going to come to an end. I think China is going to continue to focus on that sort of social cohesion. So that's still going to be a headwind. But at the margin, I think things are looking a bit better in 2022 compared to 2021.
But on that basis and sort of picking your way through the sectors, then does that actually put international investors off investing in China? Because, a regulatory, is it a black swan? You can't allow for things like that, can you? Does that put the international investors off, do you think?
Yeah, it definitely has. Last year, we've seen lots of headlines, haven't we, of people wondering whether or not the market is as investable as it is in maybe the sort of the Western world. But I'm not sure it should really put people off. I think it's just another way of looking at things. You've got to take into account what is the social message, what is the overall political message, and you can do that. It's just another part of investing. I guess the issue is when it becomes random or you don't know what your property rights are, but all those things I think are relatively well, you can analyze them. I still think you can analyze the risks in China and therefore you can still invest in China. So over the medium to long term, I don't think it will put people off. I think just last year, there were obviously a lot of losses and that has temporarily put a bit of a dampener on people's enthusiasm.
And what about Chinese bonds, Ben? Because I know you've done quite a bit of research into that recently. I mean, has the level and the super low prices in Chinese bonds, has that put people off?
So the Chinese fixed income market is super interesting, I think, and it is massive. We're talking tens of trillions of dollars worth of bonds, both government bonds, policy bank bonds, and also corporate bonds. A lot of them, again, a bit like what I was saying about the stock market, a lot of them are associated with governments, with politics, with either guarantees or quasi-guarantees. So that's something that you've got to take into account. But if you think about the bond market from a structural perspective, I do think if Chinese growth is slowing, which it probably is over time, the population is slowing, you're probably going to be looking at over time lower interest rates, because you need lower interest rates to continue to grow the economy at the previous decent rates. That's a good thing for bonds. You can buy higher interest rates now, and as they fall, the prices go up. And I also think that as credit becomes a concept in China, people understand better, defaults start to happen and we start to price it in better. I think liquidity will improve. I think relative value opportunities for sort of active investors will improve. I think it'll attract more foreign investment. We've already seen that in the government bond markets as well. I think that'll happen in the credit markets. So I think it's going to be a better market to invest. This is a sort of 2, 3, 4 year view. Better market to invest in going forward. And I also think the returns are going to look pretty good. The yields are higher in China than they are in the US or the UK or in Europe, for example.
What sort of yield are we talking about then, Ben?
Well, sort of 3%, something like that, for a 10-year bond. It's definitely higher than a zero for German government bonds, isn't it? And it's higher than it is in the US and in the UK.
Yeah, true. Now, you've mentioned the figure zero, and that brings me quite nicely onto my next question, because, of course, you know, China has had a zero tolerance policy in place over COVID. I mean, obviously, we've read ahead of the Winter Olympics in Beijing that caseloads are rising. And of course, there will be some migration. I mean, I know celebrations will be very much curtailed this year for the Chinese New Year, but there will be some migration of workers from urban to rural, as there always is each year. Given that, and given there will be some movement, greater movement than we've had of previous months, how likely is that to test the zero tolerance policy?
I think China, with the zero tolerance policy, will lock down areas, lock down regions, lock down the country if the Omicron virus becomes out of control. And that's probably the biggest downside risk, certainly for China, but also for the globe. If they started locking down, that's going to increase supply issues, isn't it? It's going to lead to lower growth globally. It's going to lead to potentially higher inflation. So that is actually probably the biggest near-term risk for global economy right now. I don't think they're going to move away from that zero tolerance policy. But so far they've controlled it, and they've controlled every wave, and the ability to know exactly, track and trace infections has been remarkable, much better than other parts of the world, of course. So, you know, let's give them the benefit of the doubt, and let's say that they can get through this, and fingers crossed they can make it through this latest wave, and then Omicron might die down everywhere else in the world, and China then can slowly open up. That would be the best case scenario.
Well, let's hope so. And on a personal note, Ben, tell us, if you would, how you are spending Chinese New Year this year.
Well, I can see it from my hotel room, but unfortunately I'm in quarantine for, you know, having come back from Christmas, traveling back to see the family. So I'm currently in a quarantine hotel looking out in Hong Kong and seeing other people celebrate. But as you say, I think it's going to be a little bit more subdued this year. I don't think we're going to see the big parties that have happened in the past, and people are just going to be a little bit more careful with what's going on with Omicron.
Yeah. Well, you see some fireworks at least?
Not yet, but I'll see if over the next couple of days if I see some.
Yeah, well, look, here's hoping you stay sane in your quarantine. Very grateful for you to have done this market tour, because I know things are not easy from your hotel room. And apologies if we've had a few sound issues, but you're coming over clear as a bell now. Ben, happy new year to you. I hope things get better and that you get on the move again and back to your flat. But in the meantime, thanks so much for joining Market Talk. Thank you. If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, you can leave us a rating, or maybe even a review if you're feeling particularly generous, on the Apple Podcast app. It really helps new listeners to find us, and we're always on the lookout for new ways we can improve. As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of the recording and do not reflect the views of Legal & General Investment Management. Forward-looking statements are, by their nature, subject to significant risks and uncertainties and are based on internal forecasts and assumptions and should not be relied upon. Where individual stocks are mentioned, these do not constitute a recommendation to buy or sell any security and are for illustrative purposes only. Legal & General Investment Management is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more great content, check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn and our website, elgim.com.
Copyright 2021 Legal & General Investment Management Limited. All rights reserved. No part of this publication may be reproduced or transmitted in any form or by any means. including photocopying and recording, without the written permission of the publishers. This material is issued by Legal and General Investment Management Asia Limited, a licensed corporation, BBB 488, regulated by the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission, for professional investors only.